As much as you can. Hallelujah. Just speak to him and let him know that you're available. You're available. That you're open and that your heart is ready. Your heart is ready not just to receive, but your heart is ready to give. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in ICANN Community Church. Bless this vision, bless the visionary, the team, and all those that make up this awesome body of believers. Have your way. Touch, heal, deliver. Set free right now. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Now lift those hands and give him praise. Give him praise. Come on. Woo! Come on, church. You can do better. Praise him. Praise him in many ways. He set you free, delivered you. And we certainly thank God. You may be seated. Listen, it's always good to be a part of this wonderful body of believers. And as Brother CEO, or Pastor Ruben, should I call him, mentioned earlier, I'm a part of the board. And just seeing what God is doing is exciting. And Bishop's not here. The business bishop is on business and means business. And we certainly thank God for him in his absence. And honor is not just honor in someone's presence, but honor is actually more critical in their absence. So can we do this? Shall we stand on our feet and celebrate Bishop, the Honorable Bishop Wayne Malcolm? Let's thank God for him. Amen. What a wonderful global visionary. And we certainly thank God. And it's so good to see everyone else. Tell the person next to you, glad to see you. Good to see everyone else. You may be seated. You know, Jason Nicholson Porter is just a wonderful vessel of God, singing melodies from heaven, as always. It's so good to see Minister Nikki Brown as well. Amen. God bless you. And it's so good to see everyone in the body today. I brought my book with me. My book is called Enjoy the Journey. And Paul said something that was interesting. He said, whatever state I'm in, I have learned to be content. And I discovered that life is too short to be sad and to be depressed for over a long period of time. It really is. He says, whether I have plenty or I have little, I'm just going to enjoy it. I was traveling once from London, England, Heathrow, to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And the pilot said to me, he put on the tannoy, he said, listen, this journey is 11 and a half hours. And I sat back, I felt sad because I didn't realize how long it was. And I said, this is just crazy. 11 and a half hours, I didn't know. Then something said to me, well, you've got to do the 11 and a half hours anyway. So there's no point doing it being sad. So I sat back, put my chair back, ordered some orange juice, and I said, I'm going to enjoy this journey. And this book will bless you. There'll be some available after the service, and it'll bless you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
There's a word in my spirit. I have to release it. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 29. So I want you to double click on verse 29 of Matthew 15. I know we have all these other versions of the Bible, the New English and this version and that version. I still love King James. There's an anointing in King James that I don't feel in the other version. So please allow me to be old school this morning. Is that okay? And I like the thus and the these. So, amen. So we're going to read from verse number 29. And if you don't mind, stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. The Bible says like this. It says, Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and says, I have compassion on the multitude, because they've been with me now for how long, church? And have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fulfill such great multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few, not fish, little fishes. Verse 35, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. Verse 37, and they did all eat and were filled. They took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took a ship and came into the coasts of Magadala. Say amen, someone. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say this to them. Say, the Hunger Games. Amen. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. The feeding of the 4,000 is important in both its significance and also its scope. Its significance is identified by it being present in the three synoptic gospels. And that's quite interesting because not all of the miracles and sayings of Jesus is listed in all three gospels. And it's also significant because of the amount of people that were involved in this particular miracle. It really took on a great depth because of the amount of people that was involved. And it's interesting because this event is undeniable, both in its importance and also in its scope. And I really see where God is not only taking you as a church, but how he's taking you as individuals. And he's getting ready to do some undeniable things in your life. He's getting ready to make a great impression that will cause you to know that only God brought you out. If you really begin to track the text, you'll note that Jesus moves from Tyre and Sidon, and then he comes into Galilee. And that's what we see in verse 29. It says he departed from thence. So he's moving from one location and he's stepping into Galilee, into another location where he is going to perform and operate in a new shift and on a new level. For the last 1 year, Jesus has been operating, if you read the text, with his disciples in Galilee. He deposits on them the ability to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, and to give. But now he has got to Galilee, and this is going to be a notable miracle. Before they move from Galilee to Judea, and then from Judea to Jerusalem. So this then becomes one of the last impressive miracles Jesus does in Galilee before he moves locations. So it becomes a paradigm shift where Jesus is about to do something new and improved and take them to a new location. And there are times in our lives when God is ready to take us to another level, where we've been operating is not enough to contain what God wants to do. Galilee was a region that was around 50 miles by 50 miles, surrounded predominantly by water. They had blitzed the area two by two, but now their work in that particular location was coming to an end. And God was about to do something new and impressive and take them to further regions and different areas. So he says this, that we're now in Galilee. I want to do something notable. I'm going to do some things that are going to stick out in your mind. And the text says that he was in Galilee at water level, but he moved to a mountain level. The water level that he was at, he was there for a season, but there was a time that he had to move higher. And I don't know who this word is for. If you receive it, then receive it. But God is going to take you higher. You've been operating at water level too long, but now God is going to take you up. Because before you can go up any mountain, you have to go through a valley. Valleys always come before mountains. I know in the church we sing about mountains, we praise about mountains, and we celebrate about mountains, but you have to go through a valley before you get up to a mountain. Someone needs to get this in their spirit, that after you have gone through your valley, your mountain is next. And someone's next is getting ready to happen. I'm excited about your future, because God is going to take you up. What I like about it is the Bible says that Jesus not only moved up to the mountain level, but he sat down there. Read the text. The text says that he sat down there. So Jesus moved up to an elevated height and did not become nauseic or intimidated by his new level, but he became so comfortable that he took a seat. I believe that there are new levels God is going to take you, that when you get to that level, you cannot become intimidated by where you are. He'll put you and connect you with important people. He'll position you in important places. Someone's about to sit around a boardroom table and be around people they've admired for years, and they're going to look at you. And when you get there, just know that's where you're supposed to be. I'm telling you. Don't start laughing when there's no jokes. Don't start feeling uncomfortable, because that's where you're supposed to be. And when God places you there, no one can take you there. My Bible says promotion don't come from the east or the west, but it comes from God. So when he causes you to live on a street that no one that looks like you or comes from where you come from looks like you on that street, just know that's where you're supposed to be. So the Bible says that Jesus sat down there. He knew that that was his new position of elevation. But if you take a closer look at the text and a closer examination, you'll note this. The Bible says that when he got to the mountain, great multitudes came to him. Now, I have an issue here, because when Jesus was on the sea level, he was only his inner circle was around him. But the moment he got to a mountain, great multitudes were attracted to him. And I discovered that there are people that will not be interested in you when you're in your valley. When you're trying to put the business plan together and you need their support, they're not answering your calls or your WhatsApps. When you're trying to have a prayer partner, when you know what God's trying to do, there are people that will not believe in you. It's not what they say, it's how their face looks. But as soon as God promotes you and places you in your mountain, there's at least 12 people who are going to tell you, you're my third cousin that you didn't know about. Because people are not interested in you, they're interested in where you are sometimes. Because Jesus didn't change, only his location changed. It was the same Jesus in the valley and on the water that was in the mountain. So the only thing that could have attracted this multitude would have been where Jesus was, not who Jesus was. In this season, God is going to put you around people who are not interested in your location, but they're interested in who you are. That means when you come out of the mountain, they'll still be with you. That when you're no longer in your elevated position, they'll still be praying for you. Because they'll know that it's about you, not just about where you are. So the Bible says that this great multitude came to him. But a closer look at this multitude, you'll notice that there were people in this particular church that had issues. Because the Bible says some of them were lame, some were blind, some were dumb, some were maimed. And then it went on to say, and many other issues. In this church, no one had the right to look down on anyone. Because everyone in this church had issues that they came in with. This is a church where the misfits fit. Because no one came in righteous, but they had to go through a transition where they would develop to a level of righteousness. And I believe that we should never look down on people with condemnation, with an arrogant attitude, because we know what they have been through or what they're going through. But we should always approach people with humility, knowing that if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? It's true, because a lame man cannot write messages about a dumb man. And a dumb man cannot have a phone call with others about a man that cannot see, because the reality is every one of them has issues. But I got good news for you. You may have come in with your issues, but you're leaving with a breakthrough. You may have come in one way, but you're leaving with a miracle. Because the Bible says this, it says, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Which meant that they came in one way, but the way they came in was not the way they was going to stay. And I'm speaking to someone today that knows you may have come into ICANN Community Church one way, but you're leaving with a breakthrough. You're not going to leave here the same way you came in. Because God is up to something in your life, and he hasn't finished with you yet. So the text says, insomuch, verse 31, that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And then they glorified the God of Israel. My one problem with this church was this, that they needed to see what Jesus did before they gave glory. They didn't have faith until they saw it. When they saw it, they celebrated. When they didn't see it, they just observed. And I believe it is important not to wait to see what God does before we believe, but to believe before we see it. And if you believe before you see it, you won't wait till you see it to praise him, but you'll praise him even when you don't see anything yet. And I'm talking to someone that knows I'm not waiting until the battle is over. I'm not waiting until the new car comes. I'm not waiting until that man says he'll marry me, but I'm praising now knowing that my breakthrough is coming real soon. And I just need someone to give God praise right now that knows I'm not waiting till it comes. See, in church, there are two kinds of praises. There are because of praises, and there's in despite of praises. Because of praises, say, God, I'll praise you because you gave me a new piece of ice, because I've got the new car, because they promoted me in my job, because I've got a new house. But in despite of praises, say, I don't have no car, but I still give you praise. They won't promote me, but you're still good. Got no breakthrough, but I'm still going to give you praise. Because I don't need to wait till you do it to praise you, but I'll praise you now because I know you're God. Can I see how many in despite of praises are in ICANN today that says, God, I know it's coming. I can praise you now. I know the breakthrough's coming. I'm shouting now. I don't have to wait. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm getting excited on a promise. I'm dancing by faith. I'm shouting knowing it's on the way. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm going to give him praise. Not for what I see, but for what's coming. And what's coming is greater than what I see. I wish they would believe. All right. Look at someone on your row and say, it's on the way. Yeah, it's on the way. It's on the way. You ain't seen it yet, but it's coming. And that's why I get excited. Now watch this. The Bible said in verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me for 3 days. Now, this is interesting because Jesus called his disciples. This was one of the only times in the scriptures where nobody requested anything from Jesus. But Jesus identified their needs, and he was the one that decided what breakthrough and miracle they needed. And I believe that is important for us to know that there are times when Jesus knows what you want without your request. You don't pray about it, but he knows. There's a level you get to in God where you become a magnet for a miracle, where people call your phone, where connections seek you out, where things begin to happen. My Bible says signs and wonders will follow them. Not that they will follow it, but it will follow them. So therefore, it becomes effortless because God begins to open doors. You see breakthroughs you didn't even know where they were coming from. Jesus says, I am moving with compassion because I really know that what these people want before they even ask. I actually know what they need more than they know what they need. So therefore, I'm going to bring them their breakthrough. Hallelujah. Somebody right now is being set up for a miracle. Hallelujah. You didn't praise for it, fast for it, shout for it, but God is setting you up for a breakthrough that eyes haven't seen and ears have not heard. He says, I have compassion on the multitude. And then he said this, which was intriguing. He said, I have compassion on the multitude for this particular reason. They have been with me for 3 days. Watch it. He did not just say, I have compassion on them without any reason. But his reason was the length of time that they have been with him for 3 days. What he was saying was that they have been exposed to me spiritually. So now I need to meet their physical needs. Because the reality is, No matter how much our spiritual needs are met, if our physical needs are not also met, then we're never going to be able to absorb the spiritual the way that we can. Because they were so hungry, they got to a stage that they could no longer hear Jesus' words. No matter how in depth he was able to preach, a hungry man, my mother always said, is an angry man. So he said, listen, I need to now meet their physical needs because I have already met their spiritual needs. And when we get to the place where we understand that it is important for us to believe God for our physical needs as much as it is for our spiritual needs, then we begin to find balance. Because if we're out of balance, then we can never really receive everything that God has in store for us. And so he said, now I'm going to meet their physical needs just as much as I have their spiritual needs. And someone is going to walk into a harvest because God said, you've only had the half of it. He said, there is more that is getting ready to come. And I believe your more is getting ready to come in the name of Jesus. God is not through with you yet. He says, listen, I have compassion on them. And he says, I'm not going to send them away hungry because of the location. The location was in an isolated place. And that isolated place meant that they would not have enough energy to get back to their towns where the food was. So he said that this is not going to work if I send them away because I know they're not close enough to what they need. And I'm going to now allow a breakthrough to come into their life. Now you'll note with me here that what Jesus did was quite prophetic because he let them realize that now you're going to need me to step in. Have you ever got to a place in your life where you realize your connections wouldn't do it, your intelligence wouldn't do it, but only God could bring you out? And no matter how great you are, there's places you get to that you say, God, over to you. I can't do it by myself. And his disciples said unto him, where would we get so much bread in the middle of this isolated wilderness to fill this great multitude? So what the disciples did was this. They felt that their resources was a determining factor in them getting their breakthrough. But they didn't realize that really when God is stepping in, he does not calculate your resources as significant to bring your abundance. Because if Jesus needed your resources, then you don't need him. But the moment you don't have enough, now you have to rely on Jesus. So Jesus is not looking for those who have enough, but he's looking for those who do not have enough, so that you would be able to identify when it's all over that only God brought me through. Hallelujah. God does not need your resources to give you a miracle. As a matter of fact, he is looking for those who do not have enough because God wants the disproportionate amounts that you have in comparison to what you need to be an identifier of his miracle in your situation. When you have little and you know it's not enough, and then you come out with more than enough, then you have to sit back and say, only God did it. So he says, I want this little. The disciples felt it was a disadvantage, but Jesus knew it was an advantage. Do you know how many people say, I can't do it because I don't have the intelligence, I don't have the connections, don't have the money, don't have what I need in order to do it. My vision is bigger than my resources. And then what we do is we truncate and we dwarf our vision to meet our resources. Yeah. instead of believing in God to attract the miracle and blessing into our lives. So when God gives you a vision that is bigger than your resource, that means it has to be God. But if he gives you a vision in line with your resources, then that's you. And so God is telling me to talk to someone right now and let you know that you need to enlarge your vision. Hallelujah. That you need to think on a larger scale, a bigger dimension, because God is going to give you a breakthrough with your name written on it. I believe right now that God is getting ready to do something in your life that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Give God praise right now, because bigger. Hallelujah. Is coming into your life. They said this, they says, where would we get so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great multitude? And then Jesus did something very powerful. He said to them, how much do we have? And they said, 7 loaves and a few little fish. Now, he could not have been asking them the question because he did not know what they had, because his omniscience determines that he knows all things. So he was not asking because he wanted intelligence, but he was asking so that he could alert the disciples to what he was doing. He asked them so that he could let them understand that they don't have enough and what he was getting ready to do. My God, someone's about to get God to do some things in your life. Whenever God lists out in your life your inadequacies, it means that he's getting ready to step in to make a counterbalance to what you don't have, so he can give you what you need to have. How many loaves do we have? They said, we have 7 and a few little fishes. They said, we really don't have enough. Our resources are too small, but I know what you can do in my life. And here's what Jesus did that really impressed me. He said to disciples, sit down on the ground. Do me a favor, lightly fist bump your neighbor, lightly, don't smash him now, and say, sit down on the ground. This is impressive. It's impressive because Jesus said, you guys have been busy, but you're still hungry. He said, you've been busy, but you're busy doing nothing. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, sit down on the ground. In this season, God says, I do not want you to be busy without results. Some of us have been on the hamster's wheel. We're sweating profusely, but we're going nowhere. Touch him again, say, sit on the ground. We've been going conference after conference, meeting after meeting, event after event, and we're still broke. Tell them, sit on the ground. We got 4 mobile phones and we still can't get a breakthrough. Tell them, sit on the ground. Because God said you're going to be busy this time with results. Sit on the ground. Listen. I'm tired of doing everyone else's bidding and everyone else's stuff. Sometimes you got to sit on the ground. People are always calling you for favors, but when you call, they don't pick up. Touch them one more time. Say, sit on the ground. Listen, when you sit on the ground and you begin to analyze what's going on, then God gets ready to do what he needs to do in your life. Touch him for the last time and say, sit on the ground. Hallelujah. See, whenever he tells you to sit on the ground, then he's preparing you for your abundance. He's getting you ready for your multiplication. Touch someone and say, neighbor, I'm a work in progress. Look at them and say, I'm still under construction. Yes, yes, that means that God has not finished with me yet. That God is still trying to do things in my life. because God is perfect, but his people are in process. Someone can X-tweet that. God is perfect, but we are still in progress. And I believe that God is getting ready to do some things. When he sat them down, in companies of 150s. The first thing he did was he says that I am going to bring order. Because without order, you cannot get what God wants to do in your life. Order is important. And so he says, I want them to sit on the ground in hundreds and fifties. And then he did something in 36, which I love. He took the bread and he took the fishes and he gave thanks. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to thank God for what he's going to do. I don't know why, but there's people in the body of Christ that have no manners. They don't know how to say thank you. After God healed you, delivered you, saved you from the operation table, gave you breakthrough, put your sons and your children through university, and you sit in the house of God like you're erudite, sophisticated, and God, you're looking all cute, but you ought to tell him thank you. After everything he done in your life, do I have anyone in the house now that can tell him thank you? You made ways, you healed me, you delivered me, I didn't blow my brains out, or drive my car over the cliff. I'm still here. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, thank God. Oh, I need some praises right now that would give him thanks. Open up your mouth and give him praise, because God. Hey, Shia. Someone lift your hands and shout thank you. Because God has a holy habit of blessing people who know how to say thank you. Because if you open your mouth, then God will give you your breakthrough. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you do not have the right to remain silent. If you know what God has done in your life, you gotta open up your Someone shout thank you. Be seated, be seated. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. And then he did something. He broke it, then he gave it to the disciples. He could have gave it straight to the people. But he gave to the disciples. Now, there are three questions in the text that I need to illuminate before I close. Number one, did it occur to us that Jesus could have done this miracle without the need for the disciples? Number two, did it also occur to us that Jesus could have done this miracle without the disciples' food? And number three, did it also occur to us that Jesus did not need to wait for 3 days? He could have fed them or let them go back to their town after 1 day or perhaps 2 days. But he purposely waited it out so that it would become 3 days, so that the only food that would be left would be the disciples, so that he could take their food, so that he could use their food to present a miracle. So Jesus did something unique and strategic, and I want you to understand what Jesus actually did. He allowed the multitude. This miracle was not so much just about the multitude as it was about the disciples. He had previously, in chapter 10, departed on his disciples and said to them, listen, I now want you to move out and become participants of this gospel and ministry. I no longer want you to just observe, but I want you to be involved. And anytime God is allowing us to be participants, it's because we're moving closer by grace and faith to being Christ-like. God does not want us to just observe, but he wants us to be involved. And so he said, disciples, I need you to be involved so that, number one, you will be participants, more like Christ, and number two, I can give you multiplication and increase. Because if he did not take their food, then they would not be shareholders and stakeholders in what Jesus was about to do. And there are some of us that need to realize the next move of God in our lives is God is not just going to allow us to observe, but he's going to cause us to be involved. And so the Hunger Games is this. Jesus said, I'm going to allow the multitude to be hungry. I'm going to take the disciples' food so that they can be a part of this new miracle that I'm getting ready to do so that they can step into a season of abundance. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a part of the abundance that God is bringing into my life. Yes, God wants you to be involved. No longer can you just sit by and sit down. But now God wants you to do something because he knows your breakthrough is around the corner. And the Bible says this in verse 37, he gave to his disciples, the people who doubted, the people who thought it couldn't be done, are now going to see the glory of God. He went on to say this. He said in verse 37, they did all eat and were filled. So now Jesus has balanced out their spiritual needs with their physical needs. And I want you to look at your neighbor like they're your best friend and say, neighbor, God is intentionally getting you involved so that you can receive your miracle. Oh yes, he's getting ready to do it in your life. And then he went on to say that they were all filled and did eat. I decree and declare, I prophesy over your life that nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking is getting ready to come into your life. The text says that they did all eat and were satisfied, and there were seven baskets left. Seven pieces of bread produced seven baskets full. In each basket, there were 70 pieces of bread. So Jesus took seven and brought multiplication. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, a hundredfold return is coming into your life. Oh, yes. I see your harvest getting ready to come. Everything you have given, God is about to take you to another level. God is about to see you through. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, your broke days are over. Tell them the Hunger Games are coming to an end because God's about to fill you up. Oh, I wish you would give him a praise. Shandy. Dr. Springer, before I close my Bible, I need to say this. The Bible says there were 4,000 men. Now, you need to watch the miracle. There were 4,000 men, then at least 4,000 women, plus children. That brings me to 12 to 18,000 people. Yet the Bible identified the men. Why did it identify the men? Because there's no use having a filled multitude and hungry men. Men need to get themselves in order. Men need to be positioned. Men need to take back their rightful place. Men need to be the head of the home. Get out, start the business, be hunters and movers. God is getting ready to see you through. Now shake your neighbor's hand like they're your best friend and say, neighbor, your breakthrough is coming. Your miracle is coming. I declare over your life that in the next 7 days, God's about to turn your life around. I prophesy over your life that you're going from broke to blessed. You're going from down to up. And the Lord told me to tell you, don't wait till you get it to give him praise. But if you praise him now, then your miracle is on the way. Touch your neighbor like they're your best friend and say, neighbor, this is my season for promotion. This is my season for open doors. And the Lord told me to tell you that the louder you praise him, then the quicker your miracle. That if you open up your mouth, God's getting ready to blow your mind. Touch your neighbor for the second to the last time and say, neighbor, the games are over. I'm about to get the new house.
The games are over. I'm about to drive the Rolls Royce. The games are over. My business is about to start. The games are over. I'm about to get my abundance. The games are over. Because Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Now walk across the aisles and touch three people and say, your blessing is coming. Say, your blessing is coming. Your miracle is coming. Your open doors are coming. I decree into your life that everything you suffered, all the pain that you went through, yes, yes, Lord, yes, God's getting ready to do it. And I believe him right now that if you shout right now, God's getting ready to do it. Now open up your mouth and give your God a praise, because God's about to fill you up and he's about to turn your life around. Everybody in here, leap one time. God told me to tell you, you're going higher than you've ever been before. You're about to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to run and not get weary. You're going to walk and not faint. Say yes. Say yes. Now give him praise. Shout a praise. Hallelujah. Hey, my God. I feel grateful in here. I feel open doors in here. I feel a miracle in this room. You don't know what I've been through. There's a story behind my praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you haven't seen what I went through before I got my miracle. See, they didn't see the tears you cried. They don't know everything you suffered. They don't know how broke you was. You gotta give him praise, cause you know what God is getting ready to do in your life. Now hold your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, when I give God praise, it's not about what I have, but it's about what I'm going to get. And what I'm about to get is going to be bigger than what I had. Oh, I wish they would believe me in this house, because God is not through with you yet. I wish they would know. Oh, my gosh. Oh, open door. Breakthrough. Abundance. Land owners. Business owners. Motivators. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Huh? Hey! Touch someone again and say, neighbor, the games are over. And my breakthrough is now. Because everything I've given and everything I suffered, I'm about to receive my abundance. Hallelujah. Lift those hands. Hey, God. Ah, Shandu. Ah, lift those hands, church. Come on. Woo! My God. My. Listen. Jesus remained standing, allowed the multitude to be hungry, because he wanted to make a point that in chapter 10, I already distributed delegation power. I told you to go out two by two. And you have moved from a position of spectating to participating. You are now stakeholders and shareholders in this vision. And what the Lord told me to tell someone today is that he's moving you to a position of participation. That's why you're dealing with what you're dealing with and going through what you're going through. Because now God is going to use you in a new way. So sometimes you're going to have to be hungry, and sometimes you're going to have to give the little that you have. That food was enough for the disciples, but not for the multitude. But Jesus said, I don't want you living on just enough. If you don't give the seven and the two, you can't get the basket. Jesus said, no more will you live from hand to mouth. No more will you live on just enough. Now, I want you to live on abundance. Lift those hands right now. I see
The heavens open. My God. I don't know why God told me to speak this word, but he told me to tell someone the Hunger Games. You got to know that your hunger is going to be energy that's going to fuel you for the rest of the journey. It's not over. Those baskets are coming. It's not over. God is about to fill you up. Lift those hands. It's your receiving position. It's your position of receiving. Spirit of God, I thank you right now for your people. Tonight, this afternoon, rather, I release the anointing of multiplication. Increase on their life right now. Oh, yes, God. The heavens are open. I speak in the spirit right now that they would hear your voice and realize that what they went through was not a setback, but it was a setup for them to step into their abundance. You haven't finished with them yet. There's still much for them to do. I prophesy right now that in this year, before this year is over, that entrepreneurs and business owners will manifest in this church. I speak prophetically that millionaire status is falling on some of them. I decree and declare debt cancellation. Glory to God. Debt cancellation is coming right now. I speak inheritance. Woo! Yes, that's been held up. I see it in the realms of the spirit. Land. I see land that's been held up in Jamaica. God said that it's coming this year, that the judgment is moving in your favor. Right now, I decree now, woo, hallelujah, that held up insurance payouts are being released right now. Hey, thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the Hunger Games are over. Today, we decree, hallelujah, that our seven baskets are coming. God, we're going to sit down. We're not going to be busy doing nothing. We're sitting down. Order. And delegation is coming. And breakthrough is coming our way. We speak it now. In the name of Jesus, I declare in the realms of the Spirit that you are going to do what you need to do. It's here, it's now. And we speak it done. In the name of Jesus. Someone clap your hands. Give God praise. Come on, praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Shania, praise. Oh, God, do it, Lord. Come on, church.
Are you ready to give Him praise?
I need you to touch
His angels,
praise. When I open my mouth, God's gonna open
shout a little bit.
Touch Him, give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise right now. Like when I open your mouth,
what can get my praise
has done for me?
10 seconds.
Say you can't tell
His praise right now.
I can tell it. So give me some space so I can praise the name of my God.
Come on, you got 8 seconds. Clap those hands.
You got 5 seconds. Clap it and celebrate God. Hallelujah. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Hey! Woo! Thank you.
You've been listening to a live sermon at ICANN Community Church. We hope that you feel inspired, informed, and empowered to take your life to the next level. We want to build a relationship with you, whether you attend ICC or not. Of course, we would love for you to visit or even to join. But if that's not possible, we can still stay in touch. Go to our website at www.icanncommunitychurch.com and subscribe to our mailing list for updates on special events which may be coming to an area near you. Until next time, this is Bishop Wayne Malcolm saying God bless you.